two men enter, but only one can be named champion. These men have faces for radio, but do they have the chin to take a punch?
You want me to hit you?
That's right.
What, like in the face?
Surprise me.
This is so stupid.
Anyone can give a hot take. Everyone has an opinion, but can they fight?
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
It's time for the Killer Bees Fight Club. Let's get ready to... Okay, that's Michael Buffer's lawyers. I'm not going to say the line, Michael Buffer lawyers. I'm not going to say the line. You're so strong.
I don't know how I feel about Michael Carroll saying we have faces for radio.
I just love him at the end bailing with, you're so strong.
Who's he talking about when he says that?
Whoever's beating him up.
He's Michael talking Buffer. About Michael Buffer's lawyers.
Oh, the lawyers, yeah.
All right, so yesterday in the Killer Bees Fight Club bracket, we had three matchups. Here are the results. In the Cooper region, Paul Gallant advances. He defeats Brandon Scott in a close one, 51% to 49%. Congratulations to ESPN's own Paul Gallant advancing to the next round. At the final matchup of the... This would have been in the Cooper region. It was Sean Bajani and Joel Blank. Winner of this gets Paul Gallant in round two. Sean Bajani wins it 54% to 46%. Bajani advances in an upset.
Yes.
It's the fourth time you've told us you're happy you lost.
I am. Which I'll make it 5, 6, 10, 15.
Which
and
is
I think
usually
it's a, fair
a sign that you didn't like
who,
it.
Who'd you vote for, Joel?
I, voted for Sean.
Couldn't care less.
See, you don't care less about anything, and you don't care less about my opinion, but I'm telling you anyway. I'm glad I'm out, and I really like, now I'm curious, because I think it's a good matchup, Sean and Paul.
I couldn't care less. You did get into an argument with somebody on the Twitter, I see, because I keep getting notifications of you and this guy going back and forth.
I got to get you out of that, but yeah, I just, you know, some days are better than others, and if you try
just clicking off the top,
you might not care about the voting result, but you definitely cared about the comment.
Yeah, so what?
You're letting them happen. No, I'm just pointing out that it's funny.
You get into them from time to time, too. I mean, it happens.
Nah, not me.
Just the entire city of Seattle.
Not me. I wouldn't do something like that. I don't troll anybody. I don't do that. So Bajani advances, and in the first matchup in the Rich Lord region, it was Chris Gordy and Brian McDonald. And Brian McDonald of this show is the only one that advances.
Acknowledge me!
Brian got 56% of the vote. Chris Gordy got 44% of the vote. Let the record show, though, Blankers. I think you and I had much tougher matchups than Chris Gordy. Brian got a cupcake.
Oh, for sure.
We had some heavyweights. Not so much me. You had a heavyweight in this tournament.
Look, as the only accomplished winning fighter on the show, I think I'm the only one that should be weighing in from here on
Brian
out.
Brian got a 16 seed.
Yeah, I mean,
hey, a win's a win. All you can do is face who's on the schedule. That's all you can do.
16 seed Brian over here.
Johnny and I were texting, and I was like, hey, man, I voted for you. I want you to win. I think you got a shot against Paulie. Go get him.
You text rival shows and rival stations? What is this?
Friendship.
I'm sensing betrayal.
Friendship.
I'm sensing betrayal.
I sense friendship.
Sensing
you guys
betrayal.
Need how you want it.
Do you text that entire show?
Oh, I don't have a choice. If I don't, I get put into punishment.
I see Sean all the time. He does PA at baseball games. So I see.
Oh, he does PA at U of H baseball?
Yeah, he does. He's like probably their second PA guy. Whatever Bob Ford can do stuff. It's usually, it depends on the sport.
Isn't it JP too for basketball?
JP is the primary basketball guy.
He's really good.
JP's great.
JP's awesome. Yeah. JP's the basketball voice. Bob Ford's the football voice. Bajani's the baseball voice. But then
for Sean who loves baseball.
When Bob Ford doesn't do football, it's Bajani. Okay. That'll do it. And then whenever JP doesn't do basketball, it's the Rockets guy. He'll come over and do it.
I don't know who that is. Redhead guy, right?
Yeah, I see sometimes on Twitter he'll
little
post
Jake?
Stuff. I would say more Big Jake.
He looks a little like Jake? I don't know.
Did you say Little Jake or Like Jake?
Like Little Jake. Like he looks a little like
I would
Jake.
Say he looks like Big Jake. I think he's taller. Okay. I think he's taller.
Well, who
yeah,
is
it's
it?
Not, yeah, it's a low bar.
Oh, wow.
All right.
Double whammy there.
First, I know all about the short jokes. First fight in our triple header today comes from the Rich Lord region. This one features Tyler Milner, the producer of the Baytown Baddie in the show. And then Sean Salisbury, used to be an ESPN employee, Gal Media employee, now, of course, is at the flagship. All right, who's arguing for Hugh here, Brian?
I don't know Tyler. I know the...
I'll argue for Tyler, then I know Tyler.
Yeah, I think that makes the most sense.
All right, go
that
ahead.
Was what I was going about to
I
say.
Just think from a Salisbury perspective, I know that he is a he is an ex-football player. He has a bit of a temper. He can deliver some anger. and he can direct it where it needs to go. And I think that he's still got plenty of venom left in the tank to take out whatever Tyler brings to the table.
Tyler is a fighting Texas Aggie, so you know he's going to go down. He's not going to go down without a fight. He's going to fight you to the bitter end, even when it's annoying to do so. I'm not bitter at all. he's younger, so he has the age advantage. I think Salisbury, I could see former athlete, you know, used to go back in his day. He's a little over the hill. It's a little past his time. Milner's young. Milner's a fighter. Milner's going to win over Sean Salisbury. All right, second fight in the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Also in the Rich Lord region, this one pits Ross Villarreal against our very own Lance Zierlein. Who's arguing for Hugh?
Hold on, Brian. You didn't do the cards. Judge the first one.
My bad.
I'm going with Tyler Milner here. You mentioned the age.
Really?
Yeah, you mentioned the age gap. I just looked it up while Jeremy was talking. Sean retired in 1996. It's been almost 30 years.
So what? He's a big dude.
Big doesn't necessarily mean
still
winning.
Working out quarterback.
How old is Sean? He was born in 63.
Yeah, and I got
really
61. Is he older or younger than you?
Way older. I hate when you do that stuff. I will tell you, he's
way older than you.
Yeah,
you're in your 50s.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
You're such an a-hole.
When are you done? When did you start working the Rockets? When you were 12?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they didn't have child labor laws back then. Yeah.
Good for you. I mean, look like you're 38.
I mean, you tell me about my because I played baseball in Wisconsin. But guess what? When I was playing at the age of a little leaguer, when I was playing college baseball, it's pretty damn good. You strike guys out.
Facts. But high school baseball in Houston's better than college baseball in Wisconsin.
Yeah, so Tyler, I don't actually know exactly how old Tyler is, but he can't be any older than his early 30s, like you said.
I think he's in his 20s.
I think he is, too. I'm just saying he can't be any older than his early 30s. I believe he's also from Baytown as well, so maybe a little Baytown baddie rub off there. I will give the much younger fighter by 30 years the advantage, and I'll go 10-9. Tyler Miller, partly because I want to.
Correct me if I'm wrong, though, but Tyler's pretty good about like just tweeting other people at other stations, just conversationally about sports.
I've never noticed that much.
I think he's said a couple my way, but that's the only way I know him. But
oh, really? Yeah. I haven't noticed that. I like Tyler.
Oh, so he's replied to some of your tweets?
Yeah, or we've just discussed something that one of us had tweeted about in sports. So
just totally normal, calm discussion.
Yeah.
Okay.
It definitely was. I mean, if it was on the enemy station, believe me, I would have no holds barred.
I know. He is on the enemy station.
Yeah. No, I said if it was venomous on the enemy station, then it would be, yeah.
All right. Next one, Ross and Lance Zierlein.
Yeah, I will give Jeremy Lance and Joel, you will argue for Ross Villarreal.
Okay.
Lance knows all about trench play. And because he knows about trench play, I trust Lance in a scrap. A lot of fights, you have to be within arm's length of the other person. Of course, you have to land a blow. Lance knows about that space. There's no one that knows more about trench space than Lance Zierlein. So that's a huge benefit for Lance. He's smarter. He's wiser than Ross is as well. And I think that Lance has had more athletic accolade in his life than Ross has.
I think Ross works in the trenches every single day and deals with people like that. So all he has to do is use his reach.
Maybe he used to.
I think that he has the ability to move around in order to avoid the ground game and use his reach to be able to stick and move, jab Lance. Lance is fully capable of actually tripping on his own shoelace and tearing an ACL and also have other injuries that no one could have seen coming because that's just how injury prone he gets. I think Lance can just stick and move. I mean, Ross can stick and move, use his reach to his advantage, avoid the ground game, and I think he comes out on top in a decision.
Do we think he has a longer reach?
Oh, yeah, he's tall.
I know he's tall, but Lance isn't short.
No, but he's tall and lanky. I think he's got, like I said, I think he's got the reach advantage
on him. And look, I worked with Ross a lot. He's actually the one that came up with the my Twitter handle. He was the one that came up with it. And I've watched a lot of boxing with Ross Villarreal. I know he knows the sweet science. And like Joel pointed out, Lance can't walk through the Superdome parking lot without tripping down and falling. So
he can't walk through a crosswalk in Indianapolis.
I will take the man who is 20 years younger. I will take the man who's a big fan of boxing and knows the sweet science. I will take Ross Villarreal 10-8 over Lance Zierlein.
I don't think there's any chance Ross wins the vote. I don't think there's any chance he wins.
Lance doesn't have to call his followers either or send out a direct message. I think Lance has the followers.
I think Lance wins the vote for sure. All right, final matchup. In the is it? You're rooting against rival stations.
I told you I'd beat Ross and I go way back. I'm going to go with Ross on this one.
You're currently co-workers with the other guy.
Now co-workers with you guys.
Final, you're not co-workers with Lance?
Yes. Drawing straws here, or splitting hairs here.
Brian, do you like Lance?
I do like Lance, yeah.
Doesn't sound like you do very much.
I've just said I'm going with, look, you asked me for an honest opinion. I'm going for Ross here.
Final fight of the day. We'll wrap up the Rich Lord region. Glenn Davis in Soccer Matters goes toe-to-toe with Brian Lalima and his big muscles.
Ooh.
You got big muscles, Brian Lalima.
Well, first of all,
sounds like you need to argue for Brian Lalima.
Brian
Lamuscle. Joel argue for Glenn Davis.
Okay.
Oh, man.
You're up for Glenn. You've known Glenn forever. You're
I've known Glenn forever. We're paisans.
Paisans.
Because we met in Matt Thomas's wedding.
That sounds like something I would order in an Italian restaurant.
We stood up at Matt Thomas's wedding.
Really?
Look, Glenn is athletic. Glenn is a... But Glenn right now is on the shelf.
Yeah, this is a really good argument for Glenn here.
Yeah, I'm struggling to find.
I want to vote for you, Joel. You got to help me out here.
I don't know how I can. I don't know how I can build a case for a guy that can't move. That
you
was
don't
calling
say
play
it.
By and fell over
you
a chair.
You don't bring it to discussion. You hide it from discovery.
Joel Blank, world's worst.
My whole case would be predicated. I'd have to. I'm gonna have to decline and give the case to somebody else. Because the bottom line is,
the man.
Glenn fully healthy is athletic enough to stick and move as well. Glenn with only one wheel going against Brian Lalima.
You would have been the world's worst defense attorney. Okay. Man, what a case for Glenn Davis in Soccer Matters.
I can't make a case for a guy that's in a knee brace that can't stand up for longer than a certain amount of time then falls down doing a broadcast when his athleticism is his best.
Let's just switch it, Joel. You actually, no, we're redoing
you
this.
You argued against
this
Glenn.
This was not fair for Glenn.
No.
Joel, you're now arguing for Brian Lalima, and Jeremy is arguing for Glenn Davis. We're redoing this.
Glenn's going to win this fight because he's such an athlete. He's still, like, how old's Glenn? I'm not sure. But he's in incredible shape. He looks like, I don't know how old he is, I don't care, because he looks like he's 32. He looks like he's at the pinnacle of his life. He's got that soccer body where you know he runs 12 miles a day. Bad knee or not, doesn't matter, because he's gonna grind through it, because he's a gamer. What'd you mention the other day? He fell down but still finished the call from his behind? Glenn Davis is going to get the job done because he's got the endurance, he has great hair, and because he has a lot of wisdom. And it all matters to Glenn Davis. Everything matters to Glenn Davis.
Brian Lalima is going to win because he's younger. Brian Lalima is going to win because he's stronger.
Big muscles.
Brian Lalima is going to win because he can seek the weakness out in an opponent and go right for sweep the leg. And once he sweeps the leg, he's going to create the ground game that I love Glenn Davis, but I don't think that he can punch his way out of. And I think that you can get Glenn to be vulnerable because Brian Lalima is working at 100% where Glenn is not. So I think that Brian fully zones in on that bad leg, goes and attacks it, as well as then getting Glenn on the ground and putting him down and finishing the fight.
If the first two rules of Fight Club are don't talk about Fight Club, the third one is vote for the man who buys you empanadas on the regular. Glenn Davis buys me empanadas on the regular. So Glenn Davis, 10-9 over Brian Lalima.
And if we're talking about legs and sweeping things...
Soccer player.
Glenn's got the advantage even on one leg.
If that's his kicking leg, and I'm not sure that it is, but that could be a huge problem.
His weak foot's better than Lalima's strong foot.
In your opinion.
Which of these two guys has Derek Jeter in his Rolodex?
Weak foot.
What's the question?
Glenn Davis. Which of these two guys has the phone number of Derek Jeter?
Glenn Davis.
Yeah, he's related to him.
Well,
yeah,
that's why.
I know, so I'm taking Glenn Davis.
Thanks. Really? I didn't figure that one out.
Everybody did. You stated the obvious.
With Glenn, I'm not sure he has the phone number. He doesn't need it. Family members can deliver the message.
What was the thing that you call? You and Glenn are what?
Paisans.
Paisans?
Paisans.
Do you think he calls Jeter his paisan?
No.
That's only you and him?
It's a joke. It's part of a running inside joke.
But isn't paisan like what Italian friends
yes,
are?
Yes, it's Italian friendship. Yep.
I think he's calling you a friend, and you think it's a joke.
No, I don't. I never take our friendship.
Do you have Italian heritage?
What?
Do you have Italian heritage?
A little.
Okay.
I think you think Glenn's a joke by putting him down with his one leg.
I think you can make all your assumptions, and you can be completely wrong, too, so that's fine.
I don't know. My assumptions are pretty good. All right, who's advancing in the Fight Club brackets? You can vote at Jeremy Branham and play a hand on who advances to round two of the Killer Bee Fight Club bracket. Coming up next, Alex Bregman had a couple of dongs on Saturday, could have hit a couple of home runs. Bob Nightingale predicts that he's going to win the MVP. Are we cashing this or trashing this? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a few words from my friend Doc Linville. Doc Linville, best in the business at the NeoGraft procedure. If you don't know what that is, but you've been struggling with hair loss and you don't think there's anything you can do to fix it, you can. But you got to check out Doc Linville and his staff and let them explain to you what the NeoGraft is and how it could benefit you. Because of the fact that it's getting your hair back. It's not the sprays and the creams and the foams that mask the problem. It's actually taking your own hair from a place where genetically you're never going to lose it, that being the sides and the back of your head, and putting it where you need it most. Maybe it's in front at your hairline or up on top and back. Regardless of where you need it, Doc Linville can fix the problem by taking the hair that's never going to go away and putting it where you need it most. It's a phenomenal procedure. And he is the best at doing it. And as a listener to ESPN 97.5, you can meet with him and his staff for absolutely free. It normally costs $150. You listen to us, and if you go to him, you get the consultation for free. Ask questions. Get answers. Figure out if it might be right for you, too. Just go to 975hair.com, sign up for the appointment, and then go in and let the rest take care of itself. There's no signing on the dotted line, no commitments financially or otherwise. You just ask questions, get answers, and figure out if you might be interested in doing the procedure. He does a ton of different procedures. He does a ton of plastic surgery. He does spa, Botox, all kinds of spa treatments. But the fact is, if you are a guy that's losing your hair, he has a solution to your biggest problem. Check him out today. Tell him I sent you by. Go to 975hair.com.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
He's Blank, I'm Branham. We are the Killer Bees. People are being nice to us on the text line. Blankers wants us to talk about it. I don't want to. I'm putting words in his mouth. He didn't say that. Wheatstraw Bajani is the only show I listen to on the other station. He's solid. I love Bajani. But you should be listening to Glenn Davis and Soccer Matters and Hall of Fame. And Ian Fitzsimmons?
Yes.
Ian Fitzsimmons? Ian, that's his name? We understand that you bounce around. We're not naive. 4958, I still remember when Sean would join Fred and AJ on the Blitz before joining the flagship. It was great. Rest in peace, Falcon. Yes, rest in peace. I don't remember that.
Salisbury.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Salisbury.
Oh, Sean, yeah, Salisbury.
Not Pajani.
See, he spelled it. He spelled it in a way that you don't spell Sean Salisbury, right. And he spelled it in a way that you don't spell Sean Pajani. So I had no idea he was talking
Pajani
about.
Is
he
went with option three, right?
What's that? Yeah.
Pajani is S-H-A-U-N.
Yeah, and Sean.
And Salisbury is S-E-A-N.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this one was with a W. So I had no idea who he was talking about. I took a wild guess. I figured it'd be the one with five letters and not four. Shame AJ is gone. He would decimate everyone in the Killer Bees Fight
Just
Club bracket.
Him.
What do you think he would win? Do you think he'd win every fight? I know he's dabbled in mixed martial arts. I know.
Oh, he can
undefeated,
tell you
right?
No.
I thought he was undefeated. Mm. I thought he was like 2-0.
Well, even if you're undefeated, you can cherry pick opponents.
Sure, but I think he was 2-0.
I wouldn't pick him to win the bracket. No, I would take Seth Payne over him. I would take Booker T over him.
I would take AJ over Booker at this stage in life.
Lalima?
I think AJ would beat Lalima.
I think I'd take the Baytown Baddie over him.
Really?
No, I wouldn't go that far. Boy, that would be a hell of a fight based on how bad AJ used to pick on him.
That would
make fun of him and imitate his voice in the Arkansas Milk. That would be a knockdown dragon.
I think it would fill up the Toyota Center.
I don't know about the Toyota Center, but Smart Financial might have a pretty good showing for that one.
I'm going to go Don King and try to book this. Be the promoter and then steal them of their money.
Only in America.
Steal the money from them. Promise them all of these things and give them nothing. Make all these promises and give them very little. 1317, this is the first formidable show in the Blitz's old time slot. Keep it up. Great.
Thank you?
Question mark? I don't know if... I guess it's a compliment.
Yeah, it's a compliment for us.
We're formidable. Not good. Formidable. That's always been my dreams. Don't ever be good at something, great at something. Don't be, like, elite. Yeah, don't create a legacy. I want to do, whatever I grow up, I want to be... Formidable.
How good
at
are
something.
They saying we are if we're formidable?
I think average at best.
Yeah.
I think formidable is more insulting.
If you're a formidable opponent to like a championship bout.
Yeah, you're going to lose but give up a good fight.
You got a good potential. You bring a lot to the table. It's better than saying you're crappy, you suck,
yeah,
and you're going to lose.
9-3 on
no one's
cards.
Saying that. But it's also being less than great, good, above average.
Above average feels,
they'll get there.
Above average feels right.
Formidable is above average?
Yeah, I would say so.
That's the weakest compliment I've ever been given in my life.
It's not a great
you
compliment.
You are a formidable son of a gun. Thanks? Question mark? 713-780-ESPN. HRMP listener line. Alex Bregman hit two dongs the other day. It's baseball season, if I'm saying that. It was on Saturday. Bob Nightingale predicts he wins the AL MVP in this little final season he has. What do you think of that from Nightingale? You think Bregman's got a chance to be an MVP caliber player this year?
I don't. I just don't. I think his MVP caliber seasons are over, no matter how much he's betting on himself, no matter how much going into free agency and bulking up and putting 23 pounds on, he feels like the power is going to come back and he's going to be his quote-unquote old self. I think that it's unfortunate because I think that he has those kind of aspirations as opposed to the Astros that just want him to be the Alex Bregman we've gotten used to knowing from a standpoint of just take his averages and as long as he's consistent. I don't think he's going to fight for an MVP title in the American League. I think there's too many other guys that are ahead of him that do more. Some of them are on his own team. That I don't see him anymore at this point in his career having the kind of season formidable for an MVP type season.
I think it's wild that he hits two home runs in a spring training game and then somebody's calling him an MVP candidate. Like, in what world does that make any sense?
I don't think it was a reaction to the two home runs.
What's going on upstairs? There's people jumping above us.
Oh, really? I hope it's not the wall. I hope it is upstairs.
I'm a little worried that ceiling's about to crumble down on us.
Larry Bird's coming out of the attic after that commercial. Have you seen that?
No.
When they say that Larry Bird's got raccoons in his attic or something like that, and then he falls through the ceiling.
Larry does?
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. No, there was just a bunch of, a huge thud. Right above our head.
Right as I gave that a pin, you guys just look shocked.
It's happening again.
You think it's thunder at first, and it's not.
There's an earthquake. Is there RIP to you guys?
There's a floor above us, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, there's multiple.
I've never heard things happening above us during the show, though. That was
just about everywhere else.
That was interesting that's going on. Bregman hasn't finished top 18 in MVP voting since 2019. I don't think that Alex Bregman is capable of putting an MVP season together. People are like, oh, this is his contract year, and he's going to have great seats. I saw him do a piece with Mark DeRosa on MLB Network where it's like, oh, you're going to get back to hitting 40 home runs. What makes you think that Alex Bregman's capable of hitting 40 home runs in 2024? He's done it once in his life. And it was in 2019, half a decade ago.
You guys think he's going to hit 300?
No.
I don't either.
No.
If you don't hit 300, then you should probably hit 40 bombs. If you don't think he's going to hit 40 bombs and hit 300, he ain't winning MVP.
I mean, he's never hit 300 in a season.
That's what I'm saying.
He's hit 40 homers once.
I don't know if he'd have to hit 300 to get MVP. I don't think he'd have to hit 300. I think 290, I think it's fair.
Yeah, but I'm looking at Yordan, Judge, looking at guys that can put both average and power together to where this is the reason why, to Jeremy's point, he's not going to fit. If he has a great year, maybe he finishes top 10. I don't know that I'm going to even realistically think him's going to finish top 10.
Theoretically, hypothetically, let's say he hits 290, 35 bombs, 110 RBI, plays gold glove caliber defense, and the Astros win the division.
Probably not.
MVP conversation?
Probably not.
I mean, that is, to me, the maximum
five.
Of maximum
I think he'd be in the top
him.
Five.
Okay, top five. So then he can't win it because I don't see any way he gets past 290, 35, and 110. I don't see a season like that in for him. So if that's not good enough to win MVP, if you throw in team success and his defense, then he can't win MVP.
I don't think it's really fair to go back to 2018 and 19 and say that Alex Bregman has that club in his bag. I don't think Alex Bregman has 2018, 2019 in his bag.
Especially, not only is it that long ago, but the offensive environment as far as the way the balls were reacting off the bat is completely different.
No Goldilocks balls anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are gone. King of Twitch was talking earlier about the contract. Boris is saying that he's willing to negotiate. I think it was Bregman that said he's willing to negotiate in season. Bregman sounds a little thirsty to me.
Yeah.
He sounds a little thirsty
to
me.
Well, I think that maybe he's even thinking of his own predicament situation that he asked for, that he wants to play through and going, maybe it's better to take what they give me as opposed to hitting the market and hitting the harsh reality that I'm going to find out I'm not worth nearly as much as I was hoping I was.
Yeah, I think he saw that Matt Chapman
I was
contract
about to say,
doesn't
he see Chapman and Bellinger and Hal Snell, all these guys that are represented by Boris,
We talked about Chapman being
really
kind of like that barometer.
Yeah, I mean, he's a better player than Chapman, but I don't think he's $10 million better than Chapman. He's probably $5 million better than Chapman.
At best.
So when Bregman said that, I was like, he's a little desperate to get an offer. He's a little desperate to get an offer that, and I'm sure he's looking for a player-friendly offer, but he sounded a little thirsty when he said that. I hope that Bregman has a huge year in his walk year, in his contract year.
Think he'll buy another house in Houston then?
I don't care about that stuff.
I know. There's a lot of people that watch it.
A lot of people play on teams and they never buy a house.
It's over.
Yeah. There's some people that live in hotels throughout the season. Greg Maddux, when he played in San Diego, lived in a hotel.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's been more than a couple.
Yeah.
That because they don't like the moving and moving all their stuff across country and whatever, they get a furnished apartment or they get a hotel room and just do it for the season.
You probably need like big money, like Maddox had, to be living in a 5-star hotel for the entire regular season. But most of them rent, like, and they live somewhere else. I don't see Bregman having the, like, and I hope that he has like a good year versus what we expect of him in this walk year. I think sometimes we can overstate that. I agree that players maybe have like 10% production boost whenever they're going to be a free agent. But that's not every single time. That's not every single season that a player is going to be a free agent. Do they go nuts? It happens sometimes. Doesn't happen every time. Hopefully it happens for Bregman. I don't think that Bregman's going to be an Astro next year, though.
I don't either.
I really don't. And if he is, it's going to probably take a mediocre season and then signing a Chapman-type deal in the offseason.
Or we get to about midseason and he decides to settle because he realizes he ain't going to get what he wants, and if that's the case, then he'd rather stay here.
But he's not doing that with a big season.
No.
Like, the only way that
the only way
that Alex Bregman is an Astro next year, if he has, like, at best, a pretty good year. Because if he has a great year, he's going to price himself out of the Astros' range.
Yeah.
So I don't
favorites for AL MVP this year, Soto, Judge are the usual suspects.
Of course,
from the Yankees.
Would you rather Bregman have a great year and leave than a pretty good year and then sign a 4-year contract?
I'll take the pretty good year and stay.
I'll take a great year and leave.
Really?
Absolutely.
You got to replace him.
Give me great years. But now I'm replacing a pretty good guy. Well, I'd be replacing a great guy. That's fine. Give me a great year on your way out.
I'll take a pretty good year, and as part of this offense, I think that's just fine. And I think that you keep him for four more years with the rest of the team that you have. I think you got a really good chance to keep winning.
Great year increases your odds of winning a title, though.
True, one.
And I care about titles more than I care about
players
sticking around forever. 713-780-ESPN. What would you take? Bregman having a solid year, extending his contract 4 years after this one, or one great year and then see you later. 713-780-3776. Also, when we come back, cash it or trash it. What are we cashing or trashing? What are you cashing or trashing? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. I'm cashing that Pro Dunk Hoops is the best basketball goal on the market. Best basketball goal on earth. They make the highest quality basketball goals. There's no doubt about that. Better than anything you'll find in a big box store. No doubt about that. Tempered glass backboard, stainless steel hardware. It's rust proof. A breakaway rim, height adjustable. That breakaway rim comes in handy because it's height adjustable. You can lower it down to wherever to throw down some jams, and that breakaway rim's going to keep you safe. You'll be thankful for that breakaway rim, and you'll be thankful for a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. You can lower it down to 5 feet, raise it all the way up to 10 feet with their new goal, Thor. You can raise and lower the goals with a drill. It's simple, it's easy, and it's fun to do. Lightning adjust feature, they call it. You can bring it up all the way to 10 feet, lower it down to 5 feet in a matter of seconds. Their accessories are top-notch, too. LED light kits for night play. Backstop nets so you don't have to chase the basketball around. Pole pad lettering and lots more. And you can order everything online, including professional installation. That's right. The pros at Pro Dunk will professionally install your goal at the perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't do a thing. Let the pros at Pro Dunk do all of the work for you. Give them a call now, 281-351-9822. That's 281-351-9822. Or you can just visit them online, produnk.com. Order now at produnk.com.
Prepare for overreaction on my mark.
It's that time of the week where overreactions are welcome.
They say Muhammad Ali was the greatest of all time, but he never fought Cassius Clay. What was he afraid of? Boom! Hot take!
It's Cash'em.
That is so good, but that's exactly right.
Or Trash'em.
This is your hot take.
Seems like an overreaction.
With a Killer Bees.
Give us a hot spoonful of your opinion.
Cash or Trash. Random has pretentious takes. Scotch in the Twitch said that. What is a pretentious take?
I'm garbage. I wouldn't know.
I don't know. I would trash that.
Well done.
Can you have a pretentious take? It's like an opinion. It's having a take on something. I don't know if you can have a pretentious take.
Why couldn't you have one?
What would be pretentious take, though? Like, somebody can certainly be pretentious. There's no doubt about that.
Right, right.
Like, you call me pretentious, cool. But to have a pretentious take, like, what does a pretentious take sound like?
What is that? Then what was the word we just used for, not a perennial, what we were supposed to be if we were the first in this slot?
Oh, formidable.
Formidable.
Yeah.
Maybe he should have gone with
I don't know what a pretentious take looks like. Please show me a pretentious take. 713-780-3776.
Well, if you have a pretentious opinion, that could be then a pretentious take.
But what's in a pretentious opinion? Like your opinion's better than somebody else's?
Well, yeah. Like, that you know more, that your opinion's worth more.
But isn't everybody's opinion? That's your opinion.
Yeah, but all the qualities that make someone pretentious could then be given in a take that's pretentious.
Maybe so.
Do you feel like you, in those takes, are attempting to impress by affecting greater importance, talent, culture than is actually possessed?
Someone's on Merriam-Webster.
What?
The definition of pretentious, attempting to impress by affecting greater importance, talent, culture, etc., that is actually possessed.
I don't think so. I don't think I do that. King of Twitch says, pretentious take, this caviar sucks. Okay. I don't think I've ever... Maybe my food takes can be a bit pretentious at times, although I like dives more than anything else. How can a sports take be pretentious? Well, maybe like Astros are better than the Yankees or... Okay. I'm starting to get it a little bit.
I don't know why this is.
I'm starting to cash your trash.
Really,
I'm just
boggling your mind.
Would it be
you
understand what it meant?
Like your response would be like you're smarter or above.
Well, that's true. All right, what are you cashing or trashing, Blinkers?
The Rockets are going to make the play-in game and advance to the second play-in game before being eliminated.
You don't even believe this.
You don't know that.
I think I do.
I'm starting to worry. I'm starting to look at this thinking Golden State might just be going, this ain't our year.
Maybe something went over my head. What is the second playing game?
If you're the eighth, if you're the final, the 10th spot,
you
have to win two games to get into a series.
Okay. I thought you meant, okay. Never
it's like well. A gauntlet match.
Yeah, I'm with you now. Okay.
It's like a gauntlet match because the 10-9 play, and then you have the opportunity of playing the loser of the 7-8.
Right.
So the 7-8 have two chances to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Win the 7-8 game or you win the second game.
Reward for finishing in the top 8 for the regular season, which doesn't matter as much anymore to a lot of people.
I'll play the odds here and trash it.
Trash.
Because this means that you have to jump Golden State or L.A. Mm-hmm. I don't think you're getting to the 8 spot. I mean, you're 5.5 back of that from Phoenix. So that means you would have to not only pass one of those teams, but then you would have to beat the team you don't pass on the road, and then you would have to go on the road again to beat either Dallas and Phoenix. The math isn't on the Rockets' side there. I'm kind of a numbers guy. I will unfortunately trash it, but boy, it'd be cool if they did.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have to
trash
it as well, just because I don't like the Rockets' odds of winning multiple road games against quality teams. As great as they're playing right now, and I understand they have road wins. A road win specifically heads up against the Kings not all that long ago, but doing it multiple times, we don't even know if they have Şengün. I'm going to go ahead and trash it.
Blinkers?
Look, I think that they're capable of getting there now. I think that they're going to get to the 10 seed. I just don't think that this is the year where... I think Jeremy brings the biggest point that I've factored in of anything. They're not a good road team. They're just not a good road team. You know, they play way better at home. It's weird. Yes, they're stacking some wins right now, but I just feel like it's a different animal to go in and do what they need to do in the postseason. And a one-and-done do-or-die for this team in their first year of trying to get in, I just don't see it.
I told you trashed it.
I did.
It
doesn't mean it didn't make good, for good conversation.
Thought. No, I never said that, though. I said, I know what you're going to say. I thought cash it or trash it. You're cashing like your hot take or your overreaction that you believe.
Yeah, I think there's got to be an element of you believing it. Yeah,
I thought you were supposed to believe it.
I don't think you guys made those. There's not like a rule book. I just throw it out there for the sake of the discussion that maybe someone will buy in.
No, it's something that you believe and then you're getting the people to cash your trash.
Well, I faked it.
But then you gave it away.
You faked it and you did it wrong.
Because at the end of the day, I still have to give you my honest opinion.
Oh, man, I'm never hiring you as my defense attorney, Joel.
You've already established that, and I don't have a law degree, so you're safe.
Best part about some places you don't need a law degree now, which is terrifying. Best part about the Texans getting the Hall of Fame game isn't the game. Who cares about that? But that the week belongs to the Texans. Everybody's going to spend all week talking about D'Amico, all week talking about C.J. Stroud, how the Texans are this up-and-coming team, and you know how they're going to cap it all off? Andre Johnson getting into the Hall of Fame. Hall of Fame week? Who cares about the game? It's going to be Hall of Fame week for the Houston Texans, and that's the best part. The game doesn't even matter.
I'm going to cash this because I like the fact that they get to start practicing before everybody else, and they can start getting reps in, and they can start working in the new guys and understanding what the concept is, especially with all the defensive guys they've added and whatever, and with Mixon in the offense and Slowick. I think that this is great because, if nothing else, because obviously we know the game itself doesn't matter, you get more reps, you get more of the new guys acclimated, and then at the end of the week, you get, like you said, you get to celebrate the one of the two greatest Texans of all.
Yeah. Brian?
I will go ahead and cash it as well. And it's more kind of just by default because the game means less than nothing almost. So anything that we're talking about besides the actual game on the field there in Canton will be greater than the game itself.
Okay. What are you cashing or trashing, Brian?
I'm going to expand upon Joel's point a little bit. We're going double Rockets here and cash it or trash it. I think that unfortunately, the Rockets' run this season won't end with their berth into the regular portion of the playoff bracket. But I do think next year, are we hearing hammering above you again?
No, I hit my knee twice on
the stupid
table.
This is the third time that Jeremy has tried to injure himself with this desk.
First time I tripped on my headphone wire. Last two times I've literally hit the table. I've never done this in my life. I'm brand new.
So you can catch any ball thrown at you at a sporting event, you can't keep from running into the desk?
I'm going to go home tonight with a bruise on my knee and a bruise on my hip. My wife's going to be, what happened to you, huh?
This is the radio club all day.
That Fight Club gets rough sometimes, man.
This is why you lost your fight to John Lopez. The desk is beating you
up. My bad, Brian. My clumsiness distracted you from your cash or trash. That's on me.
I was just curious if someone was about to fall through the ceiling again. No, I'll keep it short. I think the Rockets next season are, we're not even have to talk about, you know, play-in scenarios, because they're going to be in a spot where they have a top five seed and not even worrying about, I know the play-in is 7 through 10, but I think they're going to finish with a top five seed next year and not even have to worry about the play-in game when it gets time to this this part of the calendar next year.
I'm trashing this. I think that the West. I think the West has five better teams than the Rockets going into next season. I think that the West has a ton of talent.
It needs to be six.
I understand, but he said top five.
I did say top five.
My bad.
Yeah. So I think that as much as I'd love to see it, I'd love to see the quick ahead of the curve development like we saw with the Texans so far. I think that they're going to be a true playoff a team contending for a playoff spot next year. I just don't see them finishing top five, so I'm going to trash it.
Top six?
No.
Yeah, I was looking at this last night, actually. It's funny that Brian said this. I think they're a top eight team next year that can fight for a top six spot, but probably still outside looking in than in that top five. So I'll trash this one. Another one from the text line about the Rockets. The Rockets will pass both Golden State and the Los Angeles Lakers.
Well, if LeBron keeps sitting out like he's doing again tonight, the Lakers are going to give you a chance to catch them, too. I just don't see them catching both. It's the same way I don't see them winning the two games, but I think I can see them. I think Golden State at this point, they just understand Klay is a shell of himself. They just don't have enough talent right now anymore. They're going to have to really shake it up in the offseason and get creative. And I think they're basically done with this season. They're losing too many games they should win. And now it's getting too late in the season to turn the tide. I think momentum's on the Rockets' side, but I think that's where they get in.
I'll trash this, too. Lakers are still three ahead of them. They're still three games ahead with 11 to play. I forgot
the question at the end.
Yeah, I thought you did.
Yeah.
You started talking a lot about Golden State when they have to pass both of them.
Yeah, I think they get to pass Golden State. I just don't think they're
passing. Same. Their three games, I think, is going to be insurmountable. But I also thought the Rockets had no chance of getting in the play-in 2 weeks ago. So don't listen to a jabroni like me. Brian?
Trash.
Yeah, I'm trashing as well. Three games is too much to make up, I think, with the time they have remaining.
The big key is like this Oklahoma City game. Was it tomorrow night? I think that that's going to be the barometer for them catching Golden State, too. Because I think that if they can compete with an OKC team again and get... They're supposed to beat Portland. If you go in and beat OKC, one of the top four teams in the West...
They do have a head-to-head left with the Warriors, though, at home. So I think that plays a factor in their favor, at least specifically to the Warriors.
Indirectly, they took a shot. Jimmy Butler's not playing tonight for Miami, and you need Golden State to lose.
Not from the Houston area. Baton Rouge says, cash or trash, C.J. Stroud experiences a sophomore slump.
Oh, trash it. I don't see that at all. I just think that now another year more comfortable in the offense, and he wasn't. He came in completely... You know, raw this last season, and look what he did. I don't see that happening.
Trash for me.
Trash.
Brian.
Trash.
All right, last one. Ocho, cash or trash, the Texas Rangers offense will be equal or better than last season's.
That means they have to have the best offense in the American League?
Yeah, by a greater margin.
Trash.
Or at least minimum. I'm going to cash
trash.
They return everybody offensively. Mm-hmm. Evan Carter is going to be there the entire year. He draws comparisons to Kyle Tucker, fantastic player. And then they have a phenom prospect that made the club by the name of Wyatt Langford, who's going to be fantastic. I think that their offense will be better than last year's.
But I think there's offenses in the American League that got better too. So I just don't think they're going to have the best offense in the American League this year.
Okay.
Brian?
I'm going to cash it. I have a big belief in Evan Carter and Wyatt Langford, maybe because I have shares of them in fantasy. But I'm buying the improvement even from as good as they were last year.
Is Langford a guy that came right out of high school, or is he a college guy?
College guy. College. I believe from Florida. He's drawing comparisons to Mike Trout.
Boy.
Yeah, a little
you're
scary.
Adding Kyle Tucker and Mike Trout for the future. You're doing pretty well.
Yeah, hopefully they're not there this year. 713-780-3776. Who's going to lead the Astros in slugging percentage? Who's going to lead the Astros in hits? It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, if you're a golfer out there, let me take a moment to tell you about the newest and greatest golf simulators I found, and that's X-Golf and Katie. Because whether it's raining or it's nighttime, if you want to hit golf balls and you want to get better and work on your game, you can go to X-Golf and Katie. And the biggest bonus is it's like the best sports bar you can find combined with the best golf simulators. You can use it like a driving range. You can play 50 courses worldwide and have the look and the feel of actually playing that course. The shot simulators are fantastic because they're going to calculate the distance, the direction, the spin. You can even play your own golf ball if you want, but they've got specials going on every night. You can make tee times whenever you want. They have 8 simulators to choose from. You can even make one rent one that's in a private room and have a party and have your favorite golf fan that's also having a special event have a party right inside one of the simulator rooms and have a great time. Everybody plays golf, hits shots, but it takes a third of the time. A lot of the guys are playing 18 holes because you don't have to drive or walk to your golf ball and hit every shot. You just completely eliminate all that and just hit all the shots, play 18 holes in about an hour and a half or less, and have a great time. Check them out today. Go to xgolfkatie.com.
Listening to the Killer Bees with Joe Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Blanker just showed me a picture of D'Amico Ryans. This is the NFL meetings, the owners' meetings.
Mm-hmm.
I think those are fake arms on D'Amico Ryans that you just posted. I'm going to try to find a picture of it and tweet it out and ask the audience. I think they're fake arms.
I think that
they're fake arms with fake muscles. He's
got a lot more time on his hands in the offseason.
You don't even know the picture.
He's probably spending a lot of time in the weight room.
What do you mean it doesn't matter?
Well,
if it's photoshopped, it 100% matters.
Who sent out the photo?
It was Payne, right?
Seth Payne.
It looks fake. It looks like...
Seth Payne's not photoshopping anything.
It looks AI generated.
I don't think so either.
But he could grab it from somebody else. The lights in your office just went out.
There are weird
things happening at this radio station today.
People falling through the ceiling, lights
Larry
going
Bush
out.
Coming through at any minute to drop into the show. He's not talking, but he's coming through.
These arms that he has on him look like Brian Lelimas with one clear difference.
The guy that Glenn Davis is going to take out?
Yeah. 713-780-377. That reminds me, I'm late on these votes. My bad. All right, let's go out to the HRP listener line before we say who's going to lead the Astros in slugging and hits. Matt's been on the on hold for a while. Wants to talk some Alex Bregman. Matt, you're in the hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, guys. Definitely Bregman. Great season. Get red hot just before the postseason. Let's get that ring. Then that boy can go get his bag and go rot somewhere else like Correa and Springer.
Wow.
That's where I'm at. I agree with Matt. Give me one great year on your way out. We'll tip our cap, go cash in, and then go fade away into baseball oblivion.
Like George?
Bolivian, if you're Mike Tyson.
Like Springer?
Yeah, Springer hasn't been that good.
No, he hasn't.
Springer's been, like, okay when he's healthy, but he hasn't lived up. And Springer didn't even get paid like Correa. Springer got, what, $25 million a year? He's not living up to $25 million a
not
year.
Not at all.
Correa's not living up to his contract. There hasn't been one Astro that has left that has lived up to his contract with the exception of...
Gerrit Cole. And now he's hurt.
And then he also still has the second half of his contract, and now he's hurt. Will he ever be the same? We could be talking in 3 years where Gerrit Cole never lived up to the contract.
That's very true.
Big deals are not good business.
We've said it over and over again. If you're not getting the risk of not getting the ROI, especially on the back end of the deal, it's not worth the risk to take, in the Astros' thinking. I agree with him.
All right. Who's going to lead the Astros in slugging percentage? Brian's been cherry-picking these stats, by the way, which He's going out of order.
Cherry picking.
You've been cherry picking some stats.
We've been cherry picking some stats.
I've noticed what you're doing.
We've had the conversation through text about.
We have.
Okay. So
but
that was
before it dawned on me that you're selectively picking the stats. In which he has like first pick and third pick. I've noticed like, okay.
We'll flip them. I have
first pick today. I'm going to choose a stat where there's one obvious selection. I have the third pick on the second category. So I'm going to choose one where I have three different options and there's not really a great gap from what I'm messing with. You.
I'm totally joking. I know, but I'm leaning into the bit. If you want us to flip the order for slugging and hits, by all means, flip it. I don't care.
I was totally joking. All right, you have the first pick in slugging, Brian. Who's going to lead the Astros in slugging?
It's your dog.
You see what I'm telling you?
Yeah.
It's cherry picking.
He's cherry picking.
No, I'm
don't be a coward. Flip him.
It's just lunch. It's fine.
Yeah, it's just, I mean, and it's Star Pizza, all you can eat.
It's a win-loss if you lose.
Even if you lose, we're still eating Star Pizza.
No doubt.
Yeah, so you're picking Yordan on there?
Of course.
All right, second pick. Okay, this stinks. Are we using the Major League Baseball qualifiers where he has to have the 3.1 plate appearances over 162, so whatever the math is on that? So he has to qualify here.
Yeah.
That's our only hope. That's our only hope. I'll go with
the MVP.
What do you mean the MVP?
Bregman? Kyle
Tucker would seem like the obvious pick here. He was fourth in slugging percentage last year on the Astros.
And Breggs is going to have an MVP season.
He was in top four.
Well, but Breggs is going to have an MVP season. I just want you to consider that.
Chaz had a better slugging percentage than Bregman did.
I want you to consider
by
Chaz,
48
too.
Points. That's kind of...
I think Chaz would be a great pick for you.
I'll go breakout Kyle Tucker. I'll go to Kyle Tucker here. I think there's two other names, though, that you could throw in the mix and be fine here. But I'll just go Kyle Tucker, hoping for a huge breakout and that Yordan... Oh, I don't want Yordan to get hurt, but...
Huge breakout? I mean, it's Kyle Tucker. I mean, but he hasn't... It wouldn't be that big of a leap if he led the team in slugging percentage.
No, I'm talking like 40 bombs.
Okay.
Like, there's a...
40 bombs would be a breakout.
That would
sure.
be a significant jump from 30.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think he has to hit 40 bombs.
I'm not talking Pena hitting 25 home runs. I'm just saying Tucker taking that next step. Maybe jump was the wrong word as opposed to step. But I'll go with Kyle Tucker.
At this point, I'm pretty much behind the eight ball, no matter who I choose.
The guy that finished second still there.
So is the guy who finished third.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go Altuve.
Okay. Yeah,
and
that's fine.
He finished second, correct?
No. No, he finished third.
Yiner?
Yiner Diaz.
That was my other one. Okay. It was between Altuve and Yiner. I was going to take a flyer on Yiner.
Yeah, four guys had a 500-plus slugging percentage. Tucker was fourth at 517, Altuve third, 522, second, 538, and then Yordan first, 583.
I think I was thinking about OPS. I think Altuve finished second in OPS. That might be one of those.
That's correct.
About. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Altuve that's finished second about. In OPS. All right, so we're good with that. I have hits. I have the first pick on the hits category. I will go with a guy who finished seventh in hits last year. I'll go Jose Altuve. Jose Altuve is a free swinger. Stay healthy for me. Jose Altuve and lead this team in base hits.
He finished seventh as there was some off-the-radar pick. Yeah, okay.
He finished seventh. It's true.
I just watched you try to spell Altuve a couple times.
It was a fat finger.
Typo.
No, it wasn't even a typo. It was a fat finger.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. You're typing.
There's a difference between a fat finger and a typo.
Well, it's hard to type while you're running your knees into the desk every 2 minutes of the show.
I had my fingers positioned in the wrong letter. I hate when that happens.
Yeah. Happened a lot to you?
By the way, you misspelled a word yesterday that you texted to us.
Oh, God.
Just saying.
Where's Yordan. I'll just take Yordan.
Yordan in hits.
Yep.
Not a bad pick. He's your best offensive player.
Yeah he's got to stay healthy, though.
And he draws a lot of walks, but he's hitting second, some more opportunities. Yordan's a good pick.
Yeah, I was hoping Yordan was going to make it. I had some hope that that Joel would go off the board a little bit.
I did that once, and that's something I still
never
regret.
Never again.
It may happen again, but I'm hoping not.
Kyle Tucker. I don't know. I don't think there's a great third pick here, but I'll take Kyle Tucker. At least he's top four in the lineup, and I like him to hit for a better average than Alex Bregman, so give me Kyle Tucker.
We only took one of the top three in hits last year for the Astros.
Was Breggy there?
Bregman tied for first in hits last year.
See, but that's also because Altuve and Yordan missed significant time, right?
Bregman and Tucker tied for first. Guess who was third?
Chess?
Tucker?
Nope. Nope. Tucker tied for first.
Oh.
Bregman.
Oh, man. Pena?
Pena was third. Pena had 152 hits last year, was third on the team. Guess who was fourth?
Suck it, Aggie Matt. What?
Guess who was fourth? Y'all haven't said it yet.
Fourth on the team in hits? Hit? We fourth? Haven't said it yet?
Y'all haven't said it
oh,
yet.
Utility guy.
Yes. It was the utility guy.
Oh, really?
Mauricio Dubon was fourth on the hits last year. He was fourth. Abreu was fifth. Yordan had the sixth most hits, and Altuve had the seventh most hits. And Chaz had the eighth most hits. Well, how is the Astros offense going to be better? Because your better players play.
Yeah.
Yadier Diaz was ninth in hits. So your seventh guy, your sixth guy was Yordan in hits. Your seventh was Altuve. Your eighth was Chaz, and Yiner was your ninth. Just stay on the field. Just stay on the field, and this offense is going to be great.
That's why I feel so strongly. Everybody's losing their mind over everything that this offense hasn't done so far. Just get to regular season games. It's going to be fun.
Now, the counterpoint's the batter's eye.
Especially last night, right? People are losing their mind over that.
Last year. All right, Texans win projection is out. 9.5 wins. The Texans going to win more than 9.5 games? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, a minute here for Vanderford, the Vanderford family, because Vanderford is known for a lot of things. If you have plumbing issues, you need repiping done, you want to talk to them about possibly getting something that with a humidifier, doing things differently so that the climate can really, you can take control of the climate in your house. Well, Vanderford is your go-to for all of that. And then, of course, Vanderford Air is known for their HVAC and their air conditioning. You never know when you're going to need an air conditioning company, but when you need them immediately, right away. And Vanderford takes the time to be prideful and say, if you call us in the middle of the 100-degree heat, we'll be there within 24 hours. We're not going to make you wait days on end trying to work you into the schedule knowing that you are going to absolutely sweat and be in misery until they get there. Nope. They're going to try and get to you as fast as they can to handle the problem the best way that they know how. That's with 100% money-back guarantee. It's the best value at the lowest cost to you, whether it's work that needs to be done with a repair or it's a complete replacement. When it comes to your HVAC, as well as your plumbing and everything they do for you, they're going to guarantee it 100%. Book that, mark that down. If you need them, you got them. And when you don't know you need them, and then you do, that's the company you call. You go to them because they take care of you in a variety of ways. They'll be there within 24 hours, and they'll guarantee their work. 281-557-COOL. Maybe you should get a checkup now to make sure that your system is up to snuff before it actually gets to the 100-degree heat. And maybe you should be prepared in case anything happens by writing down the number. 281-557-COOL. 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's all you need to know. VanderfordAir.com.